you, Lord. Lord, we do give thanks to you this morning for your presence in this place to change and transform us, for all the things that you've done for us, all the sacrifice on the cross, and what all those blessings mean to us as we've been studying over the last several weeks. Father, I just pray that you would continue to encourage us and strengthen us in your will and in your way in our lives, that God, we would be more and more like you each and every day. And God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for your work in our lives, that you haven't given up on us yet, God, that you're continuing to work, and that you are faithful to complete a work in us that you have begun. And Father, we just give you praise. We give you glory for the work of your Son, Jesus Christ, and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Father, we just ask that you would anoint the word this morning, that would challenge us, that would strengthen us, that would bring us closer to you in some way. God, we just give you praise and glory. And everyone said, amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we're going to continue speaking kind of in the same vein that we've been talking about over the last several weeks. The title of my message this morning is Secret of Victory. Oh, and I just want to say, hey, thanks, guys, for doing worship today. I know we were a little short on folks to do it today, but you guys all stepped in and did well, and it sounded great. You guys did a beautiful job. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Amen. And now they're all going to work in Children's Church. Amen. And so, I want to talk to you this morning about the secret of victory. And as I was studying this week, I came across something, and I thought it was kind of interesting. I've never really heard it talked about this way, but as I got to understand it greater and greater throughout the week, it's to me, you can see it all through Scripture. You see the plan of God in Scripture in this area, and it really kind of clicked some things together for me. And so I'm kind of excited about sharing this message with you. But there are four Greek words in the New Testament that translate to life, that mean life. Okay, one of these words means manner of life, another means human life, and another behavior, or the behavior of life. And then, but the Greek word for the kind of life that Jesus brought into this world was Zoe. The Zoe life is translated eternal life, or the life of God. And so Jesus brought the life of God into this world. The Gospel of John opens up with the word Zoe, and uses this word, the life of God, in 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. And it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He, referring to Jesus, he was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, the Zoe, the life of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. This word Zoe, or life, is found in the New Testament 130 times. 130 times, the Greek word life, or eternal life, or the life of God, is used in these areas. In John 10:10, tells us that man was to have a right to abundance of a new kind of life, God's own life. It says, I have come that you may have life, or the life of God. I have come that you may have the life of God, and that you may have it more abundantly. God came, Jesus came, so that we would have the life of God and have the life of God more abundantly. Not just life, okay? Many ministers today focus their attention on the manner of life, or the behavior, rather than the Zoe, the life of God, which by receiving is insufficient measure, is life itself, or lives in itself. So It's interesting, as I began to think about this week, how important there is a distinction between the manner of life or the behavior of life, which the scripture talks about, because the scripture does talk about the behavior of our life and how and the manner of our life, that we should be holy as he is holy. It talks about the manner of life. It talks about our behavior, that it is our reasonable service, that we present our bodies as living sacrifices to the Lord, that we present our life, our being to God. Okay. However, when you think about when Jesus is talking about that you may have the life or the life of God and have it more abundantly, he's not talking about specifically your manner or behavior in your life. These are things that do become adjusted. So for example, first I find Christ in his life changes my life. Okay? I don't change my life to find Christ or to find him. Okay? I find Christ, and then the life of Christ, the Zoe, the life of God, finds me and begins to change me. Okay? And then I begin to change according to the life that now works in me. Does that make sense? Instead of me making adjustments in my life so that I can then come to Christ and say, hey, look, I've fixed up the outside. What do you think? Okay? And so it's a matter of having the Zoe or the life of God begin to come into our lives and transform us. And many people, and this is why it's okay to talk about our behavior, okay? But our behavior and our manners change when we get the Zoe of life. When we get the life of God begins to operate in our lives, those things begin to change by the power of God. When we get those things reversed and we start working on our behaviors instead of working on knowing God and bringing the life of God alive in our lives. Does that make sense to you? So for me, this is kind of an interesting way of thinking about it, because it relieves me of the pressure of fixing myself. Okay? What it speaks to is me understanding him greater so that, I mean, I don't know, it's hard for me. I think I've got a better example a little bit later that I'll share with you, but Paul prayed for us, or prayed for Christians already filled with the Spirit, that they might have the fullness, they might be filled with all the fullness of God, or all the Zoe of God, that they may have God himself, the life of God. Paul said in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live in the flesh. I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So in other words, the life, his normal life, his life is now sacrificed with Christ. And the life that he has, he has given over to the life of God, the Zoe of God, the life of Christ flowing through him. And beginning to allow the life of God or the eternal life of God to begin to manifest itself in his spirit and in his body and in his soul, he begins to allow the Spirit of God to begin to open up and to begin to move into his life. And when we do that, when we are full of faith and have this kind of life, we begin to believe all things. When we are filled with this kind of life, the life of God, we are filled with this divine love who is God himself, who God is love. And we can begin to be filled with this manifestation of something completely different than ourselves. Listen, I've always kind of struggled, and this is not in my notes, so I'm going to just throw this out there, but I've always kind of struggled with the understanding of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? The fruit of the Spirit, you know, love, joy, peace, kindness, all those things. All those things can be manifested in your manner and behavior. Okay? You can be loving, you can be kind, you can be all the fruit of the Spirit can be manifested in your manner and behavior without Christ. So it is important that the fruit of the Spirit begins to flow through you from the Zoe, or the life, the eternal life, or the life of God that is in you, so that the manifestation of the Spirit of God, of those fruits, is not in your manner and behaviors, are the manner and behaviors of God and not of yourself. I hope I'm making sense in trying to bring a distinction between, because see, oftentimes we try to fix ourselves and then say, God, what a wonderful job I've done. Don't you think so? Do you see what I'm saying? We try to fix what we're doing. Hey, listen, I have corrected myself in this area, God. Aren't you proud of me? Instead of allowing God to fix us or allow more of the Zoe, the life of God, to be produced in our life, which pushes out our normal behavior and begins to manifest the behavior and the manners of God, in the manner of God. There's a bracelet that says, what would Jesus do? And that's not saying, what would Jesus do so that you can change your behavior? That's saying, what would Jesus do, the life of God in you, coming out of you? Okay? And how would that manifest itself? All things are possible when we have the life of God flowing through us. When it is received in sufficient measure, it can fulfill in us any promise or any requirement in the Bible. When this love of God is pouring out of you, the requirements of God are no longer fulfilled because they're the law, but they're fulfilled out of a love relationship with God, out of a right relationship with God. It's Paul talks about this, and I've talked about it before. It's not that I don't drink, okay, or I'm not a drunkard anymore. It's not that I'm not a drunk and that I'm not doing drugs. It's not that I decided not to do those things. What it is it's the Zoe of God, the life of God manifesting through me that stirs in me the desire not to do those things out of a love relationship with God. It's not that I can't do them in my own flesh, but the flesh that I now live in, I put under the submission of the Zoe or life of God that now flows out of me and don't do those things out of a love relationship with God, out of a life relationship with God, rather than out of a choice that I've somehow made that I'm not going to be a drunkard or I'm not going to be a drug addict anymore. It's not that I've made that decision. It's that I've allowed the power and the life of God to produce those things in my life. Does that make sense to you? I hope I'm making sense here. To fulfill in all of us, to fulfill in us all that the Bible requires or promises, it is precisely the life of God in us that will accomplish those things. It's the Zoe of God. It's Christ in us that makes these things happen. It's not us that makes these things happen. By receiving enough of the life of God, it can make us more than conquerors in every area of our life, spirit, soul, and body. God wants us to do in us all that he did for Christ for us. Everything that he did in Christ, he wants to do in us. Everything that Christ fulfilled on the cross, he wants to do in us through the life of God manifesting itself in our lives. Zoe, received in sufficient measure, transforms us from glory to glory into the image of Christ. As we get more of the life of God in us, the more it transforms us from glory to glory into the image of God. You become more and more like Christ, the more that we get this, this life of God flowing through us. It turns belief into knowledge. It begins to transform us. It is the source of all divine grace. It gives us wisdom. It overcomes the world, the flesh, and the devil. It works in us that which is pleasing or well-pleasing in his sight. This glory of, or this life of God begins to work out what is well-pleasing to God. It's not me or you that's working these things out in our lives. It's the power of God working through us because we've given our lives over to this life of God that allows this life of God to begin to produce things in our lives. It is by filling us with his own life that God himself becomes our life. It is by filling us with his own life that God becomes our life, our peace, our righteousness, our purity, our strength, our health, the preserver of our whole spirit, soul, and body, our zeal, our joy, our faith, our guide, our teacher, our satisfaction, our everything that pertains to godliness flows out of this Zoe or this life of God, this eternal life that God wants to manifest in us. It flows out of that. By filling us with more and more of his life, God wants us to manifest himself in us in the forms of every spiritual blessing that has been promised to us. God wants to bless us. God wants to pour out his promises in our lives as we build up the Zoe, or the life of God, the eternal life of God begins to grow in us. We become stronger and stronger in him and not in ourselves. The promises of God are greater and greater. The blessings are greater and greater in our lives. This is the miracle and the genius of Christianity. Romans 5:10 tells us that we are saved by his life. This is true both soul and body. Every part of us, both our spirit, our soul, and our body, are saved by the life of God. Not by our own, but by the life of God. Zoe, the life of God, is the healer of our soul and body. Divine healing, divine life, divine strength is Christ himself made manifest in our flesh. It is the manifestation of this life of God, this eternal life manifesting itself not only in our spirits, but in our flesh. It begins, it's the Spirit of God being manifested into our flesh, into our body, into the healing power of God to transform our bodies and keep disease out of our bodies. Amen? The fullness of this new life is better than the healing it produces. See, a lot of times, we seek healing for the manner and behavior of our life. We seek healing for those things. When if we would just seek the life giver and the life of God, or the Zoe of God, or the eternal life of God, if we would seek that the more that we have of that, the more it will influence your flesh, your soul, or your mind, and your body. Everything will be transformed by this eternal life of God, this Zoe of God that begins to produce itself into our lives, that begins to transform us. See, oftentimes we seek the promise instead of the promiser. Does that make sense? We seek the manifestation of the promise. And we talked about that it's not the answer that we seek, but knowing that that in the promise is the answer. So in the promiser is the answer. And so as we begin to seek after this life of God that Jesus has said that he's come to give us, I've come to give you the life of God and more abundantly. So this life of God, as we seek this life of God, it will permeate, it will grow into, it will manifest itself in our manner, in our behavior, in our flesh, in our bodies, in our soul. It'll manifest itself in all these areas as our spirit begins to grow in this area of understanding that it is God at work in us that makes us different, not God at work at us. It's God at work in us, not at us. Okay? And so he begins to transform us. David said in Psalms 73:26, he said, God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. In Psalms 18, chapter or verse 2, he said, "The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold." David writes of this life of God, these kind of things, this life of God. He records this throughout the book of Psalms. David's blessings were God manifesting himself in these various forms. David recognized that the life of God, this Zoe of God, this explosion of God permeating through him and coming through him and pouring out of him, these manifested themselves in these blessings, that God was his strength, that God was whom he could trust, that God was his shield and the horn of his salvation, that God, when you begin to recognize these blessings and promises of God in your life, and they begin to manifest themselves in your life, these are the things that encourage you to know that you are being filled with God, that you're being overflowed with God's presence and God moving in your life. When you see the blessings of God and the promises of God beginning to manifest in your life, because God is pouring out of you. God is coming up and out of you. It's not you manifesting things. It's the power of God in you manifesting these things, blooming into you and becoming a part of you. God gives us each spiritual blessing by giving us himself. Our blessings are a part of God. So when we begin to see these blessings manifesting, it's God manifesting in our lives. It's God revealing himself in you. When you go out to the mailbox and you see the check that you didn't expect to pay the bill, all of a sudden you're like, wow. Or you call the insurance company and they take your insurance from $300 a month to $50 a month. That is God manifesting his blessing in your life. Do you see that? That is this huge permeating thing of God exploding and the life of God's blessings beginning to explode in your life when you begin to see your children turning out like starting to like God for themselves and loving God for themselves. These are the blessings of God manifesting in your lives. When you begin to see, when you get up in the morning and the sun rises and you take a deep breath, this is the blessing of God manifesting in your life. These are God beginning to pour himself out. In John chapter 15, verse 5, Jesus says, "I am the vine and you are the branches." I think this is the perfect illustration if we could grab hold of this. The life of the branches is a part of the life of the vine. The life of the branch is a part of the life of the vine. Jesus said, "I am the vine and you are the branches." It is Christ's will that all the branches be full of his own life. So in other words, if you're a branch, it's God's will for you to be completely full of the life of the vine. If you're a branch and you're attached, whether you've been grafted in or whether you were in by some other means, but if you are grafted in by Christ, if you are now a part of this vine, I mean, now I know I'm a visual guy, so I see the picture. I see the vine. I see myself grafted in. I see the hole drilled in. I see my branch cleaned off and pushed down into there. And so hard that it becomes one with the vine. And now the very life of this vine that pushes forth the fruit of life that begins to push through, pushes into my branch. Can you see this? Okay, see, this is not a change in behavior. This is not a change in the manner in which you live. This is the eternal life of God flowing into your branch and then beginning to produce, if you don't restrict it, it begins to produce the fruit of God on your leaves and on your branches, on the other parts of you. It begins to pour out of you the blessings of God. The very life of the vine begins to pour through you. This is the life of God. This is the life that Jesus said that he came to give you more abundantly. This Zoe, this eternal life, this life of God that begins to explode out of you is because you've grafted yourself into this incredible vine. When we are full of the Zoe, We are one with God, just as the bay is one with the ocean, because the tides flow into the bay. We were just down in San Francisco. We drove across the Bay Bridge, looked out at the beautiful, and Daniel called it the ocean. And he was right, because it is connected. And just as the bay is part of the ocean and the ocean is part of the bay, so you and I are a part of God, because we're joined with him. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 17, but he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That is to say, our spirit and his spirit are blended into one. You know, I was thinking, I almost added this scripture because this scripture came to me this morning as I was reading over this morning. And I believe it's in, and you don't have to put it up there, but I believe it's in John 17. You know, everybody calls, Matthew something, the Lord's Prayer. That's not the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's not the Lord's Prayer. Just so you know, that's our prayer. Because the disciples said, Lord, when we pray, how should we pray? And he said, when you pray, you ought to pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy. That's for us to pray. 17, I believe it's John 17. Jesus actually prays the Lord's Prayer when he says, Father, let them be one as you and I are one. I pray that they would become one. And this is exactly what this is talking about. Jesus came to give us the life of God so that we might be one with him, that we would be joined with him, one with him. Not just that the manner of your life would change or the behavior of your life would change and you would walk around like Pharisees, whitewashed sepulchers full of dead men's bones, that on the outside your manners and your behavior would be perfect in every way according to the word of God, but your insides would be all messed up and rotting away. That's not how God designed us to be. God wanted to begin to work on us from the inside outwardly, so that as the inside gets renewed and the inside gets transformed, and as the inside begins to change in our lives, that it begins to manifest itself on the outside, and that our behaviors and attitudes begin to change, not because we've decided to change our behavior and attitude, but that God working in us has changed our behavior and our attitude. People say all the time, you can come to Jesus any way you want. That's absolutely true. The second part of that is you will not remain the same, because if the Zoe of God, the life of God, begins to operate in your life, you will change, because you are part of the branch. I mean, part of the vine. And the branch, if it's attached to the vine, will the fluids, the life-giving power will flow into that branch, and it will be transformed. It will change. Amen. I got to see where I am. I've heard many Christians express their reasons for wanting the to be filled with the Holy Spirit or be filled with the Spirit. It seems to me that every single Christian in the world would pray until they had received the infilling of the Holy Spirit if they knew what it meant, if they knew all the blessings that came with that. One of the reasons is that he wants to be unhindered in his wonderful work of quickening us continually through our whole spirit, soul, and body. In John chapter 6, verse 63, Jesus said, it is the Spirit who gives life. In Romans 8, 2, he refers to it as the Spirit of life. The Holy Spirit is integral in our lives being transformed from the inside out. And allowing the Spirit of God to flow through us will allow God's life to flow through us to give us this kind of eternal life, this life of God that he so desires to give us in abundance. All of life is due to the direct action of the Holy Spirit. If you have any eternal life going on in you right now, it is because of the work of the Holy Spirit. You don't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws you. You don't come to know who Jesus is unless the Holy Spirit draws you. You don't make up your mind, oh, I'm going to serve God. No, the Holy Spirit has begun a work in you. And you need to pray that the Holy Spirit would finish that work, would continue that work. It is His work to impart and to continually, continually the actual life of Christ. He builds us up. He teaches us in all things. He guides us in all things. These are things that He does. He's the true source of the life, both through our souls and our bodies. We are God's children. Everything about the Spirit, it begins to work in us. When we are anything less of full of the Spirit, which is the condition of His perfect working, so that He can quicken us into this divine life, we limit or hinder Him. If we hinder the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, if we hinder these things, it slows up the process of God. God wants to quicken us. He wants to remind us. He wants to revive us. He wants to make us alive to the things of God. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, or 17 and 18, it says, "Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine in which is dissipation, but be continually or be filled with the Spirit." The will of God is for you to be continually filled with the Spirit. For me, you know, I for you old drinkers or somewhat drinkers, you know exactly what this is talking about. I love this verse because I'm an old drinker. So, you know, I totally get this verse. I mean, I've drank enough wine and beer and alcohol to know what it means to be under the influence of that drug, that alcohol. I know what it means to be under the influence of that. And you know what happens? The next morning I wake up not under the influence of that anymore. It dissipated. Whatever euphoric feeling I got from that alcoholic thing, it eventually dissipates. But with the Holy Spirit, it doesn't. It's a continual working. That's why it's so important. Don't be, some people don't like this parallel that the Scripture draws here, but for a lot of us, we get it. I know what it means to give myself over to the spirit of alcohol. And I also know what it means to give myself over to the Spirit of God, where there is no dissipation, where there is no leaving. If I keep going after it, I just keep getting more and more. And it won't kill me. It will only give me life. But I get this verse. Again, in John 10:10, it says, "I have come that they may have life," or the life of God, "and they may have it in more abundantly." We may have it more abundantly. More and more and more. I want more. I want more of this life. I want more of God's life in me. I want more of it to manifest. If we cannot have His life in the measure which He desires unless we are filled with the Spirit. We can't have it unless we are continually filled with the Spirit. Unless the Spirit of God begins to work in you and begins to transform you. In Psalms 119, verse 25, David prayed this: "Revive me according to your word." Revive me according to your word. Thank God we can all pray this with faith and get an answer every day to this comprehensive and inspiring prayer. This is a great prayer. Every day we should get up, shouldn't we? Revive me according to your word. Now notice it's according to your word. The Holy Spirit inspired the Word of God. It is His own blueprint to which He works, and while carrying out these great works of reviving us, reviving this branch that's been grafted in, is being revived according to the Word of God, according to the Spirit of God, as it begins to reveal things in me, in this this range of complex being that I am, God's beginning to go in there and begin to work in every vein and cavity and every part of my life. He's going into every shadow of my life, every portion of my life, and beginning to transform me into this incredible life of God, this eternal life, this abundant life that he speaks of. The life of Christ is working in me and beginning to develop these things. We should start every day with, revive me, O God, according to your word. Revive me. I need to be revived every day. I need this flowing of this spirit of the word of God flowing through me every day. That according to every revelation that I find in the Bible, which shows us what God wants in us, every time God shows me something, every time I discover something in the Word of God that he requires for me to do, that he's asking me to do, I need to be rejoiced. I need to rejoice and be encouraged, because it is the work of the Spirit to revive me in this area. When you find challenging areas in the Word of God that you read and you go, oh man, God, look at this. Oh, this is requiring more of me than I think I can do, oh God. Well, it's not you that needs to do it. It's the Spirit of God revealing what he wants to do in your life. It is the promise of God being revealed to you that wants to come through you in the life of God to explode into you and begin to make that promise, that blessing, manifest itself in you through the power of God, through the power of the Spirit in you. This is God working in us. As we begin to see these things, we should be excited when we open the Bible, begin to read and see the demonstrations of God's grace and mercy and hope and love for us. Amen? We should be excited about those things blossoming into our lives. Look at what God is growing in my garden today. Look at what God is beginning to produce in my life today. Oh, glory be to God that he is increasing in my life, that he's growing, that he's reviving even the most dead parts of my body. He's reviving everything in me. God is the reviver of our spirit, our soul, and our body. Amen? Every part of us is this explosion of the Zoe of God, the life, the eternal life of God, beginning to explode itself in us. In Psalms 19:50, it says, this is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life. Your word has given me the eternal life of God. Your word is exploding in me every blessing. The Spirit revives, quickens us, and gives us life. The Spirit revives us according to our trust in the Word of God, according to the intent and of every promise and command we find from time to time in the Word of God. This revives us and will be what Paul says, from glory to glory he takes us, from one step to the next. God is beginning to reveal these things in us. God's word is spirit in life to accomplish exactly what it is there to do. God's word will not return void. It will do the work in which it is supposed to do in you. Because why? Because there is a Zoe of God. There is a life that is brewing from the vine right up through the branches. When we pray to be revived according to the word, we know that God hears and answers our prayers. We talked about this. When we pray the will of God, when we pray the word of God, we know that it is the will of God and that he hears our prayers and answers them. Why? Because we pray his will, and his will for every one of us is to revive us according to his word, to bring these things into our lives. Both in every promise, every command that he has in the word of God, he wants to begin to manifest those things into our lives through the Zoe of God. The more the word of God requires, the better, for the greater we will be revived. Don't be discouraged when you see the transformation of you in the word of God. Be encouraged when you see things in the Word of God that are challenging for you to begin to work out your salvation, to begin to allow God to work in you and revive you. What a great privilege it is to be a part when we're feeling a lack in our lives that we can begin to pray, revive me, O God, you life giver. Revive me with the life of God, with the Zoe of God. Revive my life. I'm feeling a little down today. I need more of the life of God manifesting itself in me. Let the life of God be in me and come through me. Jesus said in Revelation 22:17, let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. Let him take the eternal life of God, the Zoe of God, the life of God. Let him take it freely. Whoever desires, let him come and take it freely. He wants to be an inexhaustible fountain of life which springs forth up out of us and flows out of us, rivers of living water. Rivers of living water can flow through our branch because we are connected to the vine. And everything that the vine has, he wants to flow through every branch. The very life of the vine needs to flow through the life of the branch. And the way to make that happen is to continually pray, God, revive me by your word. Let your spirit work in me. Let it begin to reveal things in me. Let it begin to cut away the branches that are no good. Let it prune me and mold me and make me into your image, God. Because the more of the Zoe of life, the more of the life of God that manifests itself through me, the more blessings that will be poured out in my life, the more promises that will be accomplished, the more things that I'll be able to do for the glory of the kingdom of God, the more I let the life of God flow through me. If I keep trying to get in the way, I will stop the life of God flowing through me. But when I get into my mind and understand that what the life that God has called me to is his life is greater than mine. Are you getting the picture of how God wants to flow through us? Amen. Let's close, and we'll just close with that. Lord, we just love you, and we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you that the secret to our victory is you and letting your life begin to manifest more greatly into our lives. Father, I just give you praise. I give you glory. I thank you for your word, for your Holy Spirit that will lead us and guide us into all truth. Father, I thank you for your mercy and your grace and your love that forgives me of all my sins and cleanses me from all unrighteousness, that keeps me grafted into this vine of Jesus, that the flow of God will begin to flow through us in a greater way, that we will manifest the life of God in a greater way. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. Work in us. Revive us, O God. Revive us. Revive the Spirit of Christ in us. Revive the Holy Spirit in us. Revive your word in us, God. Revive us, O God. Revive us today. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus as your personal Savior, but you want to know him, you want to be grafted into that branch, today is the day to do it. If you'll slip up your hand, we'll pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. I pray that this message would go to our hearts and would give us encouragement and strengthen us. It's not by our work, but by the work of the Holy Spirit in us. And God, we want to open ourselves up to a free work of the Holy Spirit in us. We just give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.